Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
We will be discussing season 4, episode 4, The Wait, which is halfway through.
This is episode 43 of 86. We are halfway through this series.
That is wild. That's wild. There's so much has happened. So much more to go.
What a good feeling. That guy's still got to die.
Yeah, and that guy. Yeah. All of it. Do you have an episode summary?
I do.
Let's hear it.
Proud of this one. I feel I did well on this one.
Okay.
As Meadow grows an interest in working for the South Bronx Law Center and moves further away from the mafia life, Carmela seems to be growing closer to it, through Furio, that is. Meanwhile, Johnny requests permission to kill Ralphie over the 90-pound mole joke that Ralphie made about Ginny, causing major debate over rules and rights. Both Johnny and Ralphie end the episode having no idea just how close they were to getting whacked. This episode aired on October 6, 2002.
Nice.
Now, you think that they knew this is episode 43, we're halfway there?
No, I don't.
No, I don't either.
They definitely didn't know.
Do you think by now they knew how the show was going to end, though?
I don't think the characters did, but maybe David Chase knew?
I gotta tell you, I don't think the characters did until they watched it.
No, really?
I don't. I mean, obviously, we can't talk about it because we're a spoiler-free, but I know.
Sure. Wait, but you don't think, like, the immediate... Okay, I guess we'll get there. Okay.
Listen, no, I don't.
Wow.
Not exactly, no. I don't.
Okay. So did you like this episode?
I like this episode a lot.
I do, too. There is this is a Johnny-centric episode. We see a lot of Johnny Sack. I think more than we have so far.
Oh, absolutely. And as I was writing the summary, I felt myself going, oh my god, this is A plot heavy. Like, I threw the Meadow and Carmela stuff in the first paragraph just to be like, okay, that's the other shit.
Sure.
But it's a one story episode, really.
Yeah, I think that's really fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Even more than, say, like, Pine Barrens is. Like, we think of Pine Barrens as an A story heavy plot with other stuff thrown in there. No, this is an A story plot with, like, Meadow and Carmela shit thrown in for fun.
And AJ locking that kid in the garage.
Out of nowhere.
And it's Bobby's son. You think AJ's that mean? His mom just passed away. You think AJ's that mean?
I think we're starting to see a turn in AJ that's going to carry through for maybe even the rest of the...
Like, he's just
his
nasty.
Time on the show, yeah.
Okay.
He's an asshole.
Okay, so favorite scene?
Oh, the sit-down. Where Junior's on the phone.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a really good scene.
It's an incredible scene. The dynamics between them. I think it really raises some interesting questions. Because we talk about Carmela and Meadow always having those great scenes where they're both right. Everyone's right in that scene. Johnny's right.
You think Johnny, I don't know, Ralphie deserves to die over it?
I think Johnny's point about in the old days, I wouldn't even have to ask is a reasonable argument. Now, I think
Junior agrees with him, too.
Junior does agree with him. I think of The Godfather, you know, and I always think of this as the first. This is the TV show about the first generation of mafia guys who grew up worshiping The Godfather.
OK.
So to contradict myself, I think that Vito would say, no, that isn't justice. Your wife is still alive. But I do think that you don't insult the wives. Like, I do think that there's something sacred about family.
Okay.
The real family, not the mafia family, that right. I do. I think Johnny's right. He said it and it's wrong. But Tony's right, too.
But
because
to die over it? I don't know. Was that?
It's
I don't
bad.
Know. Sure, it is bad. But I think Johnny Sack is really taking it over the line. For sure. And the way he behaves, the way he like gets up and says, I can't even be in the same room with you when they're trying to solve something. Like, he's being a child.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a husband. Not to say you're not married, but I do think there's something protective over our wives.
I guess. I don't know.
I totally get it.
Okay.
Yours, your favorite scene?
Johnny and Tony talking. So Johnny just loves his wife so much, and you just see that he's also psychotic. So I'm talking about when he goes in to see Tony in his office.
For the first time. This is the first time they've talked about it.
That was just such a good moment between two people. Tony's kind of like, dude, what? And you see how serious for the first time Johnny's going to be throughout this whole episode. He's not going to drop this. Well, he eventually does, but not until it gets very, very close to being very serious for multiple people. Let's say that.
And I think you've touched upon something interesting, that this episode's very well structured in the Johnny story, that you're right. That scene's very important because it establishes how serious Johnny is. And it doesn't make us totally question him. I'm never thinking to myself, Johnny's not serious.
No, never.
No, I also love that scene because there's a great moment when Tony hears the joke from Johnny, and there's that look on his face
where he wants to laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
But he heard the joke already.
Well, I think that's a mix of it. It's like, I've heard this joke and I want to laugh again, and I have to, he's deciding, am I going to lie? Am I going to say that's deplorable, which is what he ultimately does?
Yeah. It's also interesting. This is a weird detail, but he didn't say 90 pounds. He said 95 pounds. Just saying.
Oh, you're right.
Like like Paulie said the wrong number when he told Johnny, but it is interesting that it's not right. It's not what actually was said.
So you think 95, whack him.
Maybe.
But you heard 90. Back off.
Yeah, back off. Like, I think there's a threshold here, okay?
If it was a three-figure number, you would be like, decapitate him right now.
Right there. Head on a platter, as Tony said. I'll give him to you on a platter.
I'll give him to you on a platter. Did you also catch that there's a parallel to the way Tony reacts, like I just said, to how Carmine reacts?
How so?
When Johnny tells Carmine what the joke was, he has that exact same pause.
Like, this is a funny joke.
This is funny. I want to laugh, but I can't. And then he doesn't say deplorable, but he has basically the same reaction. It was an off-color remark. It was
sure.
Bad.
Yeah. Which is true. It totally is true. And Ralphie should have to be fined or whatever he says and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think getting whacked over is a little too much.
Fine, I can agree with that, but I get where Johnny's coming from.
Okay, that's fair. We can sympathize with Johnny. I think he's a little psychotic, but we can sympathize with him.
Should Johnny tell Tony who did it?
No.
So we like Johnny for not squealing.
I think it's smart of Johnny not to tell, because then his source totally gets cut off, right?
Hmm.
I just also think it's honorable to not share who it was. But I think more on his end, in his head, he's thinking it's smart for me not to tell them.
So pretty noble of Johnny then, because I do believe Tony when he says, you tell me who said it and I'll give you Ralph.
Oh, Tony's pissed. Oh, yeah.
Pretty noble of Johnny to
be
like,
Johnny
no.
Johnny was going to kill him anyway in his head.
Yeah. That's true.
It's like, right? He didn't have to give up a card to get a card. All right, your favorite quote?
It's a tie. I honestly could not.
You cannot choose?
I cannot choose.
Stop it.
Both of them are exchanges. The first one is Carmine and Johnny.
Is it all just about money?
I'll crack them good. I'll ask for 200 grand.
200 grand for insulting my wife? What's next, Carmine? You get the fuck up for a million?
He wants to fuck her.
I'm making a point.
Carmine's delivery of he wants to fuck her is, I don't know if he's confused, if he's making a point, if he's.
Right. Like, he might be making a point. It also reminds me of when Christopher said Gary Cooper's gay, where he's like, Gary Cooper was gay. Like, it's the same.
Yes.
Like, that's what you got from what I just said? What? Like, it's very. It's just, but you're right. He could be making a point.
Or a joke. Like, you're being ridiculous.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to fuck her. It was very funny. And the other one, again, this is not better, but the other one is also an exchange when, first of all, a great malapropism by Christopher. There's dysentery in the ranks. But that ends with,
what if Vesuvio's bugged and the fucking feds told Johnny?
Conspiracy theories now.
Why not? Create a little dysentery among the ranks?
First of all, the place is swept once a week. Second of all, the feds want there's a lot more interesting shit being talked about in there. Besides Ginny's that fat ass.
I like fat ass. I like when someone says you have a fat ass.
And sure. Just,
Tony's delivery's great. It's a little bit of our dad. I can hear our dad saying it like that.
But it's kind of ballsy of him to say it. In amidst all of this, don't say bad things about Ginny Sack ever again. No one. That's not allowed. Right. Like, it's ballsy for him to say it.
Especially since later in that moment when Silvio leaves, he thinks, is it possible it's Silvio?
Right. And it's just, it is kind of, I don't know. I just think it was a move. I have a question, though. What is the malapropism? I know it's dysentery, but what is he? What does he mean?
Dissension.
Dissension. Okay. I couldn't think. I was like, what does he mean?
I mean, it could
but
be
I
anything.
But I knew it wasn't dysentery.
Dysentery.
All right. Cool. Okay. I have to go with, okay, my runner-up.
I mean, what happened to this thing? For God's sake, we bend more rules than the Catholic Church.
I like that one.
That's such a good one. We all can laugh at that. And
fucked up thing is I don't even like Ralph. If he were drowning, I'd throw him a cinder block.
Just a really good, honest moment from Tony. Just, he does not like Ralphie. And it's just good.
I love metaphor. Is that a metaphor? I'm the English teacher.
No.
I like when people say things like
why
that.
Why
like
is that a metaphor?
It's not a metaphor, but I love the setup of a joke. If you were this, then I would do this when you hate somebody.
Okay.
Like, classic one that I still use is when A.C. Slater of Saved by the Bell told Zach Morris, I wouldn't spit if your eyebrows were on fire.
You remember that from Saved by the Bell.
I remember it. I can see it. I can stare at the red lockers, and I still use it if I want to say how much I don't like somebody. I just say I wouldn't spit if their eyebrows were on fire.
So funny.
And this is a great
one. We used to watch Saved by the Bell every morning before school. Do you remember?
Never missed. And Two Stupid Dogs.
Okay, do you know that I think you and me are the only people who remember that cartoon? Because I've asked people and they're like, what is that? I'm like, we watched that
great cartoon
every morning.
Loved
Two Stupid Dogs. Two Stupid Dogs. Wait. Two Stupid Dogs. Like, that was the opening. It was just, they said that three times with a pause. That was it. That's the opening. I just did the theme song for you. That was it. It was ridiculous. It was so funny. And it was just the guy who was mad all the time because they were doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Like, that's it. It was the three of them. Two stupid dogs and that guy.
It was a fantastic, funny, heartwarming. They actually liked each other, but they were stupid. It was fun. It was fun. And then we went to school. It was great.
And then we went to school.
Well, our followers on Twitter, let us know at the sibling sit down.
If you know what two stupid dogs.
If you know what two stupid dogs, tag us. Let us know.
All right. Let's. Okay. I didn't have a theme.
Don't worry, I got you covered.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with your face.
No. Oh, okay. I'm right on this one.
You have to convince me. You have to convince me. Go.
This is actually sort of paraphrased from The Godfather. There's a great moment right after Vito slaps Johnny Fontaine in the face, which was ad-libbed, by the way, and Johnny Fontaine didn't know it was coming.
Really?
He didn't know it was coming. And he goes, you can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
And he slaps him. Smacks him, and he didn't know it was coming?
No, Brando was unpredictable. And he...
That's incredible.
And then he calms down. So it's right before the famous line.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
It's sure. Right before that. He just casually says to Johnny, do you spend time with your family?
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
And that line always gets lost because
he follows it up with
one of the most famous lines in movie history. And it's sandwiched between the slap, you can act like a man speech, which is amazing too. So it never really gets acknowledged, but I think they really stole that because that's what this episode's about. It's about how does a man maybe not spend time with his family, but how does a man take care of his family? And everybody, everything that's happening by the main characters is how we're reacting to family. And I mean, this whole episode is Tony versus John, right? To the bitter end, he gives Carmela a small petite dress that she probably would never buy on her own, even though she looks amazing in it. But I do get, I think that was a brilliantly done scene because that is too tight on her, at least too tight on Carmela as we know she wears clothes.
Yes, agreed. Like she wouldn't let her like bust come out the top and stuff. She looked great, but you're right. It's just as a character, she wouldn't wear it.
She would never wear that. So, but I, you know, but he gets off on that. Like, no, I mean, not literally, but he gets off on the fact that he has the thinner, more petite wife, which, by the way, I also love the comedy of that moment because it's from Sax.
Oh, I love that.
Love that, that he gets it from Sax.
I never noticed.
But like Carmela wants things. Like she says, you don't love me. You're not taking care of me the way I want to be taken care of. Well, Johnny is. And Tony thinks he is. He thinks by listening to Cousin Brian, by sitting with Carmela, he thinks he's taking care of her. And the irony is Johnny thinks he's taking care of Ginny, but he's really not, because he doesn't learn till the very end that he's not doing what he needs to be doing as a husband.
To help her.
So that to me is what the theme is.
Okay, that's fair. And Carmela has a really good line this episode. What does she say? She says,
when you ignore me, Tony, when you trivialize things that are important to me, like this family's financial security, it makes me feel unloved.
And I think that's just a really good way to put it. Like that is her problem. And that's just it made Tony understand, I think, a little bit more.
I disagree with you that it makes him understand, because actually one of the things that bothers me about this episode, and I never really remember it's in this episode, but this exchange between them, she says, it makes me feel unloved. And he says, well, that's your problem right there, because you equate love with money. And she comes back at him, no, you equate love with money.
Well, that's your problem right there, because you equate love with money.
No, you equate love with money.
And the argument stops. I don't know what that means, because...
Wait, I also don't agree with her. I think she equates love with money.
Right. Like, her whole point is money, 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 money. Make sure I'm covered financially. Tony's right. You're equating love with money. Now, whether or not she's right from a strategy standpoint is one thing, but what is she talking about?
Yeah, I think she, in her mind, she means Tony just loves money and he goes after it. I don't think he equates love with money. I think it's her who stays for his money and equates her like successful marriage with the money. She's the one doing that. But
right.
Well, he wasn't going to call her out and say that.
Well, I guess my question, well, he does call her out. Well, he says
yeah,
it.
But he's not going to keep going. He's not going to keep going.
Her rebuttal is weird. Like that's
like, no, like you said that. Right. You're a butthead.
And I often go, is that, it's either brilliant writing to the point that it makes me think, or it's poor writing because they didn't have a rebuttal and they just had her repeat it. And I don't know.
Let's stick with it makes us think.
Sure. But I think it's a little.
Okay. It also caught me. I was like, what? And then the scene ends, I think, right after that.
That's it.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
and it's almost like his facial expression is, all right.
Right. He goes, okay, I don't feel like
it. I don't accept that premise, but okay.
Okay.
But that's the theme to me. It's a man that doesn't look out for his family. I'm paraphrasing Vito. A man that doesn't look out for his family can never be a real man.
Okay. Again, okay, wait, I'm going to add to this. So it's not just the real family, but I think even Tony with his mob family, because he says, he goes, what? I'm going to look bad not protecting my own captain? And he doesn't like the guy. He would throw him a cinder block if he was drowning. You know, it kind of, yeah, okay, I'm with you. I love a good Godfather reference.
I think this is the first time I think they've literally stolen it from The Godfather. Or maybe I'm just giving them credit for stealing from The Godfather. But as soon as I thought of that as the theme, I said, oh, that Vito says that.
Okay. I gotta watch it again. That's like a once a year for me. Around Easter, usually I watch it, which is
when you're due.
I'm due. Which
now, do you go right into two?
Yeah, right back to.
But not you don't do like a 6.5 hour sit, do you?
Every time. Yeah.
So you just watch it as one?
Yeah, it's like a marathon. It's like I have this much time. I'm going to sit and watch the two Godfathers. I've never seen the third one. Ever.
I know. Do you ever watch
in order? I know what you're about to ask. No, I don't watch them in order.
Not just once? You don't just say, let's start with Vito?
No, I don't. I'm never interested in doing that.
All right, that's fair.
Okay. Symbolism.
To Johnny, this is all about a joke about a mole. Mm-hmm. But to Tony, it's about finding the mole.
Ooh, love it.
So, nice. Yeah, nice. There's a little parallel of how they're playing it. I don't know if that's symbolism, but you know. Tony's eating a lot in this episode. A lot.
Okay.
And it's a lot about, it's mostly treats.
Okay. And I'm going to butt in because one of my symbols is around this. There is a parallel, not a parallel, I guess a contradiction of every time you see Carmine, he's sipping an espresso elegantly and he has a biscotti next to him. And then it cuts to Tony like with a fork in an Edmonds box eating the cake. And then it's Krispy Kreme with Meadow, and it's back to back to Carmine being elegant like the in New York in his sports jacket, and then Tony's just in his kitchen eating an Edmonds, and it's just, I mean, listen, I'm not gonna scoff at an Edmonds, but it's just a very interesting comparison that I saw, like kind of like the New York is, you know, more elegant and old school and better than New Jersey.
I kind of want to go back and watch this episode now through the lens of let's only pay attention to those two characters. Is this episode really Carmine, not about
Carmine,
Johnny?
Yeah, Carmine versus Tony as bosses.
Yeah. Is that what this episode's about?
No, I don't think it's about that, but I think this does that. I don't know if it's about that, though. I think that's a step too far.
All right. Well, on my 23rd or 24th watch,
you're going to keep that in mind. That. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a lot of chance meetings, almost to a flawed, like, come on. In one episode, it happens three times. We have Cuthbert's daughter meeting Meadow, but not knowing who they are. Cuthbert then meets Tony in the garage. And then Ralphie even getting in the elevator with that assassin. That's quite a coincidence. Like, it happens three times, and I think it's a little odd. And P.S., side note, you're in Miami hiding. You know that there's someone who's out there trying to kill you, and you get this creepy guy in the elevator. First of all, he didn't get out of the elevator. He says, are you getting out? He goes, no, get the fuck out of that elevator. I would never get in that elevator. I'd run away. And then he's so stupid enough, he backtalks him. Like, what the fuck's your problem? The fuck's your problem? He's the one who's going to kill you, idiot.
Well, Ralphie's an idiot.
No, Ralphie's not an idiot.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I think it's poor. Yeah.
I'm with you. It's tension.
It's a little poor writing. I also think it's crazy that we've never noticed or knew that Jason goes to Bard. What is Cuthbert's daughter's name? It's like Sakura?
Sasha?
Sakura?
It's something odd.
And Meadow all go to Columbia? Like, Bard like on Columbia's campus or something? It's like
it's something,
the same thing. It's really interesting that they all go together and we never knew.
Now. Why did you need to know that?
It never came up in therapy when he was like, oh, Meadow got into Columbia. She wasn't like, oh, Jason goes to Bard. I guess she doesn't the mob. She doesn't want him to know that. Yeah, okay.
I gotta be honest, I would try to avoid him knowing I have a child.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's totally fair. Okay.
In Ralphie's headquarters, there is a devil's sticker.
Like the hockey
prominently
team?
Placed. Yeah.
Cool.
He also says, who's been keeping that fat bitch in devil dogs?
You devil dogs are so
good. I love a good devil dog. But devil
dog or ho ho?
Oh, devil dog.
Really? Oh, see, or a yodel. Yodel and ho-hos are the same, but two different companies make them.
Devil dog. Nothing you've said it beats a devil dog.
Okay, I would go yodel. Or Ho-Ho. They're the same.
No, you're wrong.
Okay, go ahead.
Lots of red clothing in this episode, and there it seems to symbolize secrets.
Okay.
One, we have Ginny, who wears bright red when she's making the fruit salad, and we know that she's holding the secret of her real obsession with food.
Sure.
Ralphie's wearing a very nice red sweater, by the way. Ralph Lauren. And actually, it's, I believe, no, it's not when he has the devil. That's when he's wearing the pink jacket when he arrives back from Miami. But later, it's when he says, I was just fucking around. You never said anything about Ginny Sack. And they all deny it. It's funny. But he's holding a secret, too. I mean, that he did say it. Yada, yada.
Yeah.
And then Carmella is wearing red gloves when she's at Furio's. Which I think
red
is interesting.
Red gloves?
Yeah. Like, remember those, you know, those leather gloves mom used to have with the suede fingers?
Yes.
Like, she's wearing those.
Okay.
Very interesting that she's wearing those. Speaking of sweaters, another symbol, Johnny and Ralphie basically are saved because of a sweater. Right?
What?
He forgets the sweater that he's supposed to bring to his father.
Oh.
And that sweater saves them. And Johnny and Ralphie, if they have anything in common, it's they're both the fashionistas of their families.
You think Johnny Sack is the fashionista of his family?
He's by far the best dressed one. And later, he will make remarks about how he likes reading. What's the guy?
GQ?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I guessed that was
GQ. He'll mention
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah. Garages are not inherently dangerous places, but yet AJ,
I like that scene between the two of them. I don't.
That was a great scene.
I don't usually love Cuthbert. I actually don't like him, but he had a good scene with her.
I agree.
Yeah.
And as I said, AJ locks little Bobby into it.
Into a garage, yes.
Into a garage. And then ultimately, there's a lot of connection between this and employee of the month. I mean, the garage, we see a scene where Tony's walking through a garage.
Anytime we see a garage now, that's what you think of the whole time.
That comes out. It's referenced.
Yeah,
they talk about the
He says, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's that connection with AJ. And employee of the month is also the first time that we got Ginny Sack. That's Ginny Sack's first episode.
Okay. Interesting.
So,
cool.
That's a pretty interesting parallel that we're making this callback to an episode that's an entire season ago.
Yes.
Because they're both episode four.
Yeah, they're both episode four.
So. And then I just thought this was interesting. I don't know if this falls under symbolism, but I thought this was interesting. We always talk about ambiguity mm-hmm. in this show. There is an incredible lack of ambiguity. Meadow, at the final moment of the show, we hear the music, they're about to have sex, and she can't do it because the music's bothering. And we know why the music's bothering her.
Right, which
Meadow,
I thought that she was just hearing it.
Correct.
And then like, very rarely does that happen on the show where they play, what is it called? Becca taught us. It's like music that, what is it called? That music they hear versus we hear?
I forget.
Okay, we should know.
Let us know, Becca. Meadow yells, I'm going out, which is just this very easy way of us knowing Meadow did turn the music off, and now what we're hearing is in her head.
Right.
And if she hadn't said that, there's an argument to be made of, wait a minute, is the music just not going away, or is Carmella thinking it? But Chase wanted us to know this is in her head. She is now thinking about Furio as she makes love to her husband.
Oh,
that's
man.
Pretty powerful, and that it just, this episode never keeps us guessing.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I thought that was interesting.
Good. All right. So Tush by ZZ Top is playing while Christopher Still and Tony are speculating who would tell John, like who would tell Johnny this joke about Ginny's Tush. I said, Lord, take me downtown. I'm just looking for some Tush. Ralphie gives Tony oranges.
Mm-hmm.
So when Tony and Junior are on his couch and they're watching TV, they're watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. and they're talking about if they're going to kill Johnny Sack or not. And the guy on the screen gets the answer wrong, and the correct answer is eggs.
And they don't kill Johnny.
And they don't kill Johnny.
Were you a big Who Wants to Be a Millionaire fan? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
you...
I liked it. I liked it when it was Regis. I didn't care.
Well, when they're watching it, it's Regis.
Yeah, totally. Because I think it was just starting. It was a huge show.
Huge.
Like, everybody watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, and I remember, like, it didn't have a schedule. It was just like,
that's not true. It was on at like 8 o'clock.
No,
whatever.
But I remember it was like on sometimes on three times a week, sometimes on four times a week, sometimes once a week.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
And you're like, what's on tonight? Oh, it's another. And you just watched.
Oh, I feel like everyone was watching it.
The tie. Remember the ties and the shirts were a big deal? That he matched the shirt and tie perfectly?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, it was a big trend with men that we all wore it. Well, I was young, but. All the men were wearing it. I think he had his own line of clothes that it was the first time that you saw, like, literally the shirt was the same shade as the tie.
Oh, I like that look.
It's a really good look. I think it was called, like, the Regis. Like, that's what you're
doing.
You're doing
cool.
Regis.
I never knew that. That's fun. Yeah. I thought that show was great. Remember when the first guy who won a million used a lifeline to call his dad and tell him he was about to win $1 million? Like, how you can't write that.
No. Do you remember the question and the answer?
I don't.
It was what U.S. president guest starred on Laugh-In? And the answer was Richard Nixon.
Isn't that kind of easy?
It's extremely easy. A lot of people complained because they're like, you asked him an easy question because they wanted him to win. They hadn't had a winner in a long time. It was like
he was the first winner. That was the thing.
And people were getting a little like, is anyone ever going to win this?
Oh, that's what made it so good. Sally, don't you go downtown. Johnny's hearing the song as he's driving to Boston, literally saying, don't you go. And then he turns around and goes home.
I did like that.
What does the title mean?
Well, the obvious. But I mean, I think it's a lot about guilt, weighing guilt, and Carmela is really the one dealing with that. You know, it's weighing on her, this guilt of
her crush on Furio,
and Ginny's guilt is weighing on her about mm-hmm. her secrets, you know, and I mean I guess you could argue that Ralphie has guilt and it's weighing on him, but I don't think he does.
I don't think
he does. I mean, and then literally the weight that Carmela feels when she's making love with Tony, I think that's very symbolic in connection to the title, that she physically feels his weight, and okay. She's starting to really feel his weight on her. Like,
okay,
I'm done with this.
I also think they're where the audience is waiting for an outcome. Like, we're sitting there waiting for these two to get hit, and it's this, what do we say? It's the anticlimax, right?
Anticlimax.
It just doesn't happen. And I think we're waiting for something to happen and it doesn't come. Also, I think it's one of my favorite songs. I love the song. Take the weight.
Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off Fanny.
Yeah, I mean, if I hear it, I know what it is, but I don't.
Barnstorm played it. Christian's band covers the song.
Oh, very nice.
And I like when they play it. Also, recently, within the last year, we got into an argument about the lyrics because I always thought it was take a load off Annie.
No.
Because it says off Annie. Like, it says that.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
And
yeah.
And Christian's like, no.
No, and I would even argue with that lyric. I do think that's what the episode is based on, because it's the whole joke is that there's a 90-pound mole
on her
ass.
Fanny. No, on take fanny. The load off Fanny. No, completely. So, it's really clever. Come on, that's clever.
No, it's extremely clever.
Most valuable Goomba.
I don't even want to have this conversation.
Yeah, you're kind of mad at me about
there it. There shouldn't even be a conversation about this.
Okay, you think it's what?
It's
who?
Johnny Sack. It's Johnny fucking Sack. There's no other... I can't... Anyone you named, I would have said you were crazy. And you love Johnny Sack. We've not yet given it to him, I don't think.
That's not true. I don't love Johnny Sack.
You're such a fucking... I literally have recordings of what we say.
No, and I say I go back and forth with him. I liked him this episode. He was a little nuts, but I liked him. I think my most valuable Goomba is Carmine.
Because
why? Because he's the one that tells Johnny, like, you're nuts. And he knows Johnny is out there, and he calls Tony. And what does he say to what does Tony say to him? Are you saying what I think you're saying? And he just says, I don't know. Like, I think Carmine's the one that put it in. He gave the blessing to Tony to kill Johnny.
Johnny's a problem.
And Carmine gave the go-ahead. Otherwise, Tony never would have. That's a huge deal to go after Johnny without Carmine's blessing. That's giant.
But it doesn't happen.
It doesn't matter. Carmine is, we learned a lot about Carmine. We learned about how he's the boss of his family and what he's willing to and not willing to do. I don't know. I think it's a big one.
Okay.
Okay.
When we first started this episode, we talked about how this is an A plot heavy show.
That doesn't make him the most valuable Goomba.
Carmine was not even in my summary.
I like Carmine.
I like Carmine too.
Okay. I think I have an argument here. What makes Johnny Sack the most valuable Goomba? Just because the episode was about him?
He literally moves the plot along. His devotion to his wife, his hatred for Ralphie. Every single scene is about what is Johnny going to do.
Okay, that's I hear you. And Carmine made a move. Johnny didn't make a move.
Okay.
I do love his love for his wife though. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
They love each other so much. Does Johnny have a Goomar? Do we know?
No.
Is he one of those? Yeah. So we know that Bobby's one that doesn't never had a Goomar, and Johnny Sack, like, they're the good guys. That's sweet.
Yeah. There's even in the first episode of this season when the flight attendants come to the hotel room.
Okay.
You know what I'm seeing? I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Carmine and Johnny both leave.
Yes, they do. Carmine too.
Makes sense. I mean, Carmine's old. I mean, I don't think Junior would be staying either. But
I don't know about that. I think Junior would have stuck around.
But the fact that Johnny leaves is
he's classy.
Yeah, he's not part of that.
Okay, if we pulled this shit or something that made us go, oh my God, that's us.
I'll start with one that reminded me of you. I mean, the Meadow Tony scene, which I did consider for my favorite scene. I love that scene.
Are you just here to annoy me?
Yeah, very much you and Dad. Like, it was just watching you. Not, and it's not in what they're saying. Like, I don't think you would ever say to Dad, the world doesn't revolve around you, nor does our father ever think it does.
That? Yeah.
But just like their smirks at each other and, you know, I bet there's a sweatshirt you need. Like, I don't know. It's just very much a you and Dad moment.
And he would bring me Krispy Kreme. And he would do the joke like, oh, I didn't know where you were. And I was just walking down the hallway. Like, he would do that.
Do you think he's joking?
Yeah.
Do you? Oh, see, I think Tony legit doesn't know where to go.
Oh, no. I think he.
Oh, that's cute. I think he's playing with her.
And she's like, Dad? Like, I think it's cute.
It's also really great.
Can we please talk about how often these parents go to her dorm room? Stop. Yeah. Going to your, I think mommy and daddy were in my dorm room once and it was to move me in and they left.
Yes.
And if any time they visited school, I would meet them off campus or I would like go downstairs to meet them and we would go elsewhere. Like, what's with just showing up to your daughter's dorm room? Who does that? I don't remember parents showing up to my friend's dorm rooms either. Tony yelling at AJ to hang up the phone, like went to not listen and on the other line. That was such a thing.
Yeah.
Hang up the phone. I better hear the click. Like, that's such a thing.
And kids say, I have no idea.
No, it's like not even bizarre. Bizarre. That was like such a thing.
And then we got the teen lines.
Well, right. And then like, I don't think you and I ever did this to us because we were like, I didn't really care about your conversations and vice versa because we were so far apart. But like, other siblings would listen to each other's phone conversations and make fun of them.
Well, I think you, though, didn't really start using that number until I was gone. So you and I probably never had. Yeah, you and I never had that overlap.
No, maybe you weren't gone. I feel like I started wanting to talk on the phone when I like in like fourth grade, fifth grade. You were still around.
I don't remember fighting. Were you? I feel like we would have fought.
Oh, no, you were gone by fifth grade, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
I was in college. I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't. So I think not for you and me, but I think siblings in general, that was like such a thing.
Yeah. AJ, we mentioned before, is truly the asshole thing. I mean, I can't imagine doing that to him anyway. Like,
oh, it would never even cross my mind. For a little kid to lock them in a garage? Why would you do that? Why would you do
that? And to leave his little friend, who I don't know who that is, that other little kid. But he had the sense to hold him back.
Because he's too little.
But like, he walks away.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. And his mother just passed away.
Right.
Like, be nice to the little kid right now.
How'd they find him? I guess the little kid went and told him?
I don't know. They don't cover it.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. Just great all around 2002 outfits at Furio's party. Just like Carmela's got this blue thing on with the belt that has the dangle over the sweater. Like that was such a look. They all get in the car and Meadow has this like cowl neck, big chunky sweater on. Like I had that.
Meadow looks really good in this episode.
Yeah.
In general.
Sure.
Just I'm very like, yes, Meadow. This is the look that I want Meadow to have for the whole show.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
Speaking of looks.
Okay.
Would Christian, forget the whole what size is it, whatever. Like, would Christian ever buy you a dress?
No.
Do men out there, listeners, do you buy your wives? I would never.
I don't think it would even cross like his mind as an option as a gift.
I wouldn't even if my wife literally sent me the link. And said, this is what I want for my birthday. I would say, go buy it yourself and I will buy you something else.
Oh, no. If I asked for it, I think it's more about picking out a dress. Like, it's hard to pick out a dress for someone else. You there's particular things that you know you're going to look good in.
Yeah, and then to add in, picking the size, I have no idea. Like, it is funny when he goes, I don't know, small. Like, that's not the size, Tony. There's a number. I have no idea what size Carmela is number-wise, because those numbers mean nothing to me.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, but it depends on the brand. It means nothing to women either, if it makes you feel any better. They're all different brands. Right.
But nothing at Saks Fifth Avenue is a small.
No, it's going to be a number.
Right. So that was just funny. Well, and then it makes me wonder, how did you know? Did you just hold it up and go?
And go, this looks like this she one. May fit in this. Well, I think that was the point. He wanted to, like, give her a petite dress, which is a sick thing, Tony. He's nuts. That's
she looks great in it, though.
Yeah, of course
she does. She does.
She's Carmela.
Edie Falco looks great.
Cannolis.
We meet Joey Peeps in this episode.
Who's Joey Peeps?
He's the guy that Johnny Sack's talking to at the bar. He's the one that dates the girl from Cats.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that. We meet Joey Peeps.
Okay. I have three. Junior says that Carmine has big fish lips, and then someone says that I should have let you chop his head off a year ago. I'm going to leave it at that.
And I'll end with this. Meadow says she is volunteering at the law center.
Okay.
It's a big one.
We'll leave it there. Anything else?
Our Uncle Scott was with us this weekend for Easter, which, by the way, you hosted a lovely Easter.
Thank you. And thank you. You brought the Scufoli for me. And yes. Scofully, I don't know.
Struthfully.
I always say Scofully. Struthfully. And then Daddy knew that it was about the Sopranos. I was wrong.
Yeah, he had no idea that what it was. He didn't have a care in the world.
He was excited to see it.
They still have it at the house. I was there today and they.
Yeah, I sent him home with it.
It's being eaten.
Good.
You can
tell. I sent him home with it.
Our Uncle Scott said that we spend a lot of time on anything else, to which I revealed to him, well, it is my favorite part.
Yeah.
This is my favorite
random
part.
Stuff that we need to say.
So buckle up because we got some shit to say.
I love that we hear that Vesuvio's is searched once a week for bugs. Like Artie just lets that happen because he just knows it's that open.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like they be a little more subtle, but I guess not. He knows at this point. And Charmaine knew the whole time. And I guess, I don't know, it's just funny. I thought that was funny. Question. Why did Vito call Ralphie George Hamilton?
Vito did not call him George Hamilton. Eugene did.
Okay. Who's Eugene? I don't even know who Eugene is.
Eugene Popticoro.
Who?
Eugene. He's the tall guy. He's the one who got made with Christopher.
Okay. Great. Good for him. Pledge class. He was in his pledge class.
He was in his pledge class. George Hamilton was known for having an amazing tan.
Okay.
And wearing jackets like he was without putting his arms through the
seat. Like he's an actor?
Oh, yeah. George Hamilton's an actor. Okay. George Hamilton.
Sure.
Also, and I do think this was on purpose, George Hamilton is the actor who plays the lawyer in Godfather 3, who essentially was supposed to be Duvall. And when Duvall said no, they replaced him with George Hamilton, who can act well. And that's part of the reason why 3 doesn't work. And I do think that's a subtle little joke of like, you're the guy who took over for Richie.
And you're not as good.
Like, you're not as good. And I think it was a little subtle joke. Like, you're the George Hamilton of the season, even though he's not.
Why did Robert Duvall not do it? Also, how would that work that he's a lawyer? Oh, he was with the family. He was defending the family, this guy.
Well, they kill off Duvall. They say he died. Kind of the same way they say Clemenza died.
Okay.
They just say Duvall died. Tom Hagen died, so they needed a new lawyer. That's Hamilton. So he's a mob lawyer in the movie.
Got it.
And Duvall didn't do it because he wanted $5 million and they wouldn't pay it.
Which they should have done it.
They give him $10
million. Right. Like, what? How do you not? No. What?
He's the glue that holds 1 and 2 together.
And then the family.
So that's why.
Okay. Okay. I like that. I love that Tony, Ralphie, and Johnny have this like three-way Mean Girls call moment when Tony's like listening on the phone.
Yeah.
It's like very funny.
And the Ralph Cramden fist he gives him too. Little moon. It's really good.
Carmela brings her son to the house of the guy she has a crush on.
Yeah.
What?
She's not gonna fuck him with AJ there. She's in.
You think she's that into it?
Yep. She's that nervous around him.
Wow. Of what she's gonna do. Okay. Why is Ralphie in a Speedo?
It's Miami.
Really? That's a rule in Miami?
Did you look at all the other guys in the scene? They're all wearing Speedos.
Okay.
I'm actually amazed it's not a thong.
Okay.
Or maybe it is. We never get really see.
He didn't turn around. I love that Fiorio is wearing his party shirt again, like the first time we met him at the Sopranos house.
Is it the same one?
I think it's the same one. If not, it's like this. It's very similar. But I love that he's wearing that again. Like, that's what he wears to a party. Fiorio has a party outfit.
I very much like that song.
I do too.
So I needed a recording of the song to implant into our wonderful episode. And I get them all from Spotify, and then I like do things.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Whenever we need a song.
Sure.
And so that was the last song I did for this episode. And then the next morning, I went downstairs, had my coffee, and I always just say, hey, Google, play Spotify. I always assume it's something that I'm going to want to listen to, whatever I'm listening to. And it was that song, and I let it play, and then I let the album play. It was a nice little album.
Yeah? Like, I should check it out?
I did. I enjoyed. I don't know the name or anything. You know what? I'll put a link to the Spotify album
in the description. You got it.
It was just like fun Italian music. Sure. And you know, I had my coffee and it was okay. And since you don't know the lyrics, it doesn't distract. I like music in the morning. It's not going to distract me. Sure. Like I like classical music and it was just fun.
Love it.
Came out in 99. So it was new when the episode came out.
Furio's hip.
Very hip. Yeah. Furio's very hip. Also, the name of the song is Vesuvio.
Love it. Love it. Do you think they chose that on purpose?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. That's not a coincidence. Of all the stuff we talk about on this show, we think that isn't a coincidence? You think that's just a coincidence?
A little nod.
Yeah, I think it's on purpose. That's cool.
So I got a few things. I'll go through them quickly. Richard Bright, very famous actor for Lovers of the Godfather. He is one of only five actors to appear in all three Godfathers.
Name them.
1, 2, and 3.
Oh my God, you idiot. The five actors.
Oh God. Pacino.
You're one, two, three.
No, it's Pacino, Keaton, Richard Bright, as I just said, Talia Shire, and then whoever plays Tom Hagen's wife. I have no idea what her name is. But the point is, so Richard Bright is one of the crew in that really creepy scene, which I can't believe we haven't talked about yet. The scene where they... It's like the Addams Family of Christianity, that they're there and, this, and they're Syl, blind and not blind.
Syl is brilliant. He's brilliant.
So is Christopher. So yeah, so is Christopher. Really,
you're absolutely right.
But anyway, Richard Bright is sitting there. He plays Al Neary in the Godfather movies. And even if you don't know who Al is, you know what he's done. He's the guy who dresses up as a cop and shoots one of the shoots Brazzini.
Yes.
And who makes him fall down the big set of stairs.
Nice.
He is also the one that closes the door in the final moment of Godfather when we see Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
And then he's the one that shoots Fredo.
Oh, yeah.
He kills Fredo.
He does kill Fredo.
So this guy is in the scene as one of the crew, and he's the one with the oxygen machine. And then when the other guy, DiMaggio, tells the story of Tommy Neary, that's an homage to the fact that Richard Bright played Neary.
But so that way, his name wasn't Tommy Neary.
His name was Al Neary.
Al Neary, right. You said that.
But in the episode, they say Tommy Neary because Sylvia would have said
Al's brother.
Right. Well, Sylvia would have gone, Al Neary's from The Godfather.
Yeah.
So can't. It's not true.
Did you just tell me a plot line from The Godfather?
He took him out on a boat, shot him. It was facing west.
What?
He's saying the Our Father. Hail Mary.
No, Hail Mary. Oh my God, you got that wrong. Go.
The Burberry jacket. I am so glad they got that clean. I want that jacket. I want to wear that jacket. I
want
to walk around.
You want that jacket.
Johnny Sack always looks good.
Okay. Okay.
Love that jacket. Welcome Matthew Del Negro, and I hope I'm saying his name right, as Cousin Brian.
Do we see him again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cousin. Whoa. Cousin Brian's coming back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He was also in the final two seasons of West Wing, and there's not many good things about the final two seasons of West Wing, but he is very good in the final two seasons. So this guy got on West Wing and The Sopranos.
Nice.
So it's a really good few years he had. I just want to say, hey, great job, Vincent Curatola, Johnny Sack. He's exceptional in this episode and quite frankly should have gotten a nomination for an Emmy.
Do you think he put himself in for it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did.
Aww.
I'm sure he's outstanding.
And he didn't get nominated?
It's shocking. He never did. Never.
He is great.
Him, you know, Silvio, Paulie, none of them ever got. The bit players never got recognized.
I mean, but Johnny, I don't think, is a bit player.
No, Syl bit player is the wrong word. But
They're not the Stooges, but yeah, I know what you're saying. They're characters.
Yeah. Janice is really the only one that I'd say is like, wow, it's a good nomination. Like, for a character that maybe wouldn't get noticed as much, that's she's the one.
Did she ever win?
She never won. No.
Oh. But she got nominated?
A few times. Okay. I think twice. Yeah.
Okay.
I like Cuthbert's line, or his daughter's line, about college being an audition for grad school. I think that's one of the real problems in the world. It's about living in the moment, and none of us do.
Like, what's the next step?
What's the next step? And even I personally struggle with that because I have a master's to go further in my career, but I don't want to. And it's like, it's a lot of people expect me to, but I'm at what point are we allowed to say, I'm good.
Like, I'm happy.
I'm good.
I'm
right
happy
here.
Yeah.
And I think she's right. Like, everything is an audition for the next thing. I like that little moment in there.
Huh.
We talked about this briefly, but I just really like that Tony confides in Christopher about his concern about Silvio. I think they're really doing a nice job of, Tony says, I'm grooming my
he's
nephew.
In that story is happening.
Well done.
For sure. Yep.
This is another parallel to Employee of the Month that I really liked. Ralphie being very risky, by the way, that he's telling the guys about what Janice was, quote, into.
Yeah.
Even though he's lying his ass off. And then
no pun
Tony
intended.
Walks in. No pun intended.
You know what that crazy bitch was into?
What?
What? She wanted to stick a dildo up my ass, make believe she was pimping me out. I told her, get the fuck out of here.
And then Tony walks in, and this is exactly what happens in Employee of the Month when all the guys are making fun of Ginny, and Johnny walks in.
Right. It's like very too close for comfort. And we didn't know how bad that was, because if God forbid he ever heard them all saying that, he would have freaked.
Well, it would have been at the very least ended all relations.
Right.
With
it would
New
have
York
like you're all done. Yeah. Wow. Right.
We got a glimpse of Eugene's wife at the party. By the way, she is not the same actress who will play her in later episodes when she gets a bit of more of a voice.
Okay.
And my last thing, I remember the first time I watched this, and I remember watching the party and thinking of a plot line that's not going to happen, but I remember thinking it,
okay.
That I thought Meadow was going to date Furio. And I thought that
what?
Was going to be the struggle, that Carmela was in love with her daughter's boyfriend. Think it through.
Wow. I'm kind.
Would it be that crazy?
No, but
for Meadow to date Furio.
How old do you think Furio is?
Even if he's 30.
You think? I think he's older than 30. No, maybe not. No, yeah, maybe not.
It's a listen. It wouldn't be that crazy. She's 2021. It would be a May December relationship, but I think in the Italian world that wouldn't really bother them that much. I think it would bother them because it's Furio, and like we don't want to cross.
Yeah, but would Furio date Tony's daughter?
In hindsight, no. But I just thought, like, her being shy dancing, I think the way that she watches him dance with her mother
is jealousy.
I do. Like, she's looking at him, and then she's playing the music. Like, she's...
Wow. Wait, maybe I want this plot line.
It would
where,
be it
like,
would be a terrific plotline.
Carmela's in love with Meadow's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Man, I'm kind of, that's not going to happen. Sorry, everybody.
And in The Sopranos, okay, I think let's say that was what was happening.
Sure.
You and I would sit here and overanalyze the fact that Tony and Carmela are making love while Meadow is in another room thinking about making love with the music. Like, we would sit there and go, that's a cannoli.
Like, and Carmela's thinking about the same thing.
Yes.
Gross. Also, they were really going to have, like, they were going to have sex with Carmela, with Meadow right in the next room like that. Like, right there.
They're a married couple.
Well,
they probably had sex with Meadow in the next room when AJ was conceived, at the very least.
Yeah, just get her out of there. Get her out of there.
Well, she said I'm going out.
Like, to be like, shut the music off. I can't concentrate. I'm trying to have sex with your father. Like, it's just too, like, they're talking to her while it's happening. Like, let's just shut the door and not.
Well, I think the fact that Tony takes his clothes off with the door open, because what if Meadow had come out to talk to her mother? Like,
like, why are you wearing a little black dress? Like, it just, it was too close for comfort. Too close for comfort. Okay, but I would have loved this storyline. And
I
don't think you're crazy. Yeah, I don't think you're crazy given all the things you just said, that like could have planted that seed, but that doesn't happen. Sorry, everybody.
It does not. So sorry, everyone, that we got you excited.
All right. You good?
I'm good. I like this episode. I think it's a sleeper episode. It's not going on anyone's top 20.
No, but I like it.
But it's good. No,
it's a great episode.
If someone said to me, I'm putting it in my top 20, I'd be like, nice. That's a good shot. But I think it just is a forgotten episode.
Okay. I like it a lot. Yeah. More to come with all of it. So it's going to be good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Lots of setup.
Lot of setup. All right. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing The Wait with us. That's all from us for now. We'll talk to you soon when we discuss the next episode. Season 4, Episode 5, Pyomai. This has been The Sibling Sit Down. Hey, thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please like or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or from whichever platform you're listening. Leave a review on Apple and share the show with fellow Sopranos fans to show your allegiance to the family.